Hi, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
and we are lying on the beach. Today we're going to be talking about something I had the honor to participate in earlier this month, which was judging what's called CEATEC, a CEATEC. It's a big tech show in Tokyo. And last year they asked me to be a judge, and they had me back again this year to be a judge. So we thought we would discuss a little bit about what I saw as far as some of the new technology coming out of Japan. And I know I sent some pictures and on Facebook and whatnot, but Lois, you saw some of the things I sent your way, correct?
Yes, but there's a few things I want to ask you, and then I want to get to that toothbrush. How does the rest of us commoners don't know how you got found and what the requirements were, what the show is about. Give us a little orientation before we get into some of the great innovative products.
Okay, well, this is a huge show. It's sort of run by the same people who do IFA, which is another big tech show for Europe in Berlin. This is sort of the Asian version of it. It's been on for a number of years. And last year, they had an opening in the judge. They have like 9 judges. They had an opening. And they reached out to me more than likely because of the Today Show. Because I didn't really know anybody on this committee. It's not usually somebody you know. In this case, I really don't know anybody. But they asked if I was interested in doing it, and I thought it would be a hoot. It would be really interesting, and it ended up being fascinating. The other judges are all journalists in different aspects of journalism, but all over the world, from Hong Kong to Japan to the U.S. to Europe. So we're kind of a mix, kind of a worldwide judges panel. Everything is done for us in English, though the vendors there are almost all speaking Japanese, so there's a translator everywhere we go translating everything. And we basically try and look at all the booths. We have appointments to see a bunch of the booths, and then we determine who gets awards under a bunch of different categories, from software to hardware to transportation to whatever. And then after we pick all the topics and the awards there, then we do a best of show at the end. So it's fun, and you get to really see some cool technology, get some of the top people from those companies, including Fujitsu and Honda and whatnot. Plus, there's a whole area of small inventors, which, is, as you know, is my favorite area, just like it is at CES. I like the garage inventors, the mom-and-pop inventors. So I felt the same way here at CEATEC. But it's a chance to really see some cool technology and hear what's coming up and what's cutting edge.
Were there any American companies there, any people that you recognized?
Absolutely not. In fact, I don't know if they're even allowed to be there, but I didn't see any American companies that the typical names that you see. I mean, there are a lot of names we know from this country because of like Samsung, but that's not an American company. There are a bunch of those things floating around out there, but as far as a true American technology company, I did not see that at CEATEC.
And how does it feel to be so foreign in a foreign land? You know, doing all that as an American journalist.
Well, I've been to China a couple of times, but I hadn't been to Japan before. I went this year, it was my second year in Japan, and it does feel like that movie Lost in Translation. First of all, you're a little jet lagged. Second of all, the whole culture is so different that it feels a little bit like Twin Peaks. Everything is like a little off, and you're trying to figure out it's so different. There's definitely an issue where you feel that men are a higher class than women. You definitely feel that there. Culturally, there's a lot of strange stuff going on. But if you kind of disconnect yourself from that and just kind of, I mean, the food is wonderful. Everything is so clean. It's so organized. Everything's in neat lines. And, you know, if you like order, Japan's a great place to live because everything is very orderly there.
So was this show like the size of the Consumer Electronics Show, or was it, you know, fragmented in
no,
different
it's
areas
big.
Of the city?
It fills 4 big halls, but I wouldn't say it's as big as CES. It's definitely smaller than that. And for one thing, it's doable. You can see everything in a couple of days, whereas CES, you can't see everything in a couple of days. And the booths aren't as big. They don't have these massive, you know, Samsung-type booths. Most things are small size. There may be 10 by 10s or 20 by 20 would be a big booth. So they're not huge booths. It's usually just the product. You also don't get the pizzazz of CES. You don't get these big placards with things that dance and dancing girls and lots of lights. Here it's like the product, some background explanation, maybe a big screen TV to explain something, but it's all very, very, it's kind of scaled down, which is actually nice, less distracting.
How did you converse with the exhibitors?
We have a translator with us everywhere we go, and there's a male one, female one, and they're translating them. The booth sometimes has either an English speaking rep or they have a translator they've brought in. So that's the only way you can get through it because obviously, Japanese is very, very tough. It's not like you can kind of follow along, and the translation makes a huge difference. And these people, are skilled in that kind of translation, so they know how to do technology translation the way we understand. Because some of the stuff is really complicated. Honda had a whole thing with fuel cells, and it was complicated stuff. And I was impressed with how the translator was able to get those complicated concepts across to us in English from Japanese.
Every show always has a conversation. Like, 2 years ago, it was 4K TV, the concentration of the reception on a TV set. One year it's cars that drive themselves. Another year it's apps. What was the big topic in Japan?
Well, something you see a lot of in Japan, and I saw it last year and this year, is they are way more into robots than we are. They love their robots. So there are a lot of robots. I'm not saying they're all functional, usable, do anything that amazing, but sometimes they have a robot helping to show their product, or the product is the robot. But the Japanese culture just seems to be beyond crazy about robots. So that you see way more robots there than you do at CES. So I thought that was one kind of like over. The other big thing was AR. It was not virtual reality, but the now I'm having a brain cramp here. Augmented reality. Sorry about that. Augmented reality, and that was a lot of things related around that. So I would say those are the two kind of underlying themes of the show that I saw this year.
So tell us about some of the products. Now, the one that I want to zero in on right away, because you mentioned it to me, was that toothbrush for children. I did look it up. I forgot the name of the company. Zaga, Lady
Shaka
Gaga,
shaka, shaka
Shaka Shaka,
shaka, shaka
Lady
shaka.
Gaga. And I read about it, and I didn't get, other than there's a little attachment that goes on the toothbrush, and I don't know how it works with an app or it times the kid brushing their teeth. I could tell you one thing for sure. I am the common man. Level intelligence in this head. Their explanation did not razzle dazzle me or completely explain what the product was when I Googled it. So you're going to have to tell us.
Generally, all the products do a terrible job to present themselves. I think if I were to like do one thing for them, I would love to be able to show them how to present a product because they bury the lead every single time. I don't care if it's Fujitsu or this little company, they all don't know how to tell about their most important
Now,
things first. But what really sets
wait a second. Are you talking about the companies that go to this show, or being the gadget, the innovation insider, the way you are? Are you talking about in general, startups, big companies don't know how to really do the
I think the problem is worldwide, but it's exacerbated in Japan. I think those people are that group that I met at SeaTac seemed especially bad at getting to the main point first. In fact, I met with the people in charge of the judging, and I suggested they redo the form and have like a one line saying, "What is the unique wow feature of this product?" Because they bury that on paragraph 4 in the paperwork they give us, when that should be right up front, like, "What's wow about it?" Then you can tell me all the backstory. They like to tell things sort of like linearly, like, how they came up with the idea, da 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 da, all that. So going back to Shaka Shaka, what's cool about that? There are other products out there here in the U.S. Oral-B has it and whatnot, toothbrushes that have a Bluetooth feature to it, so that goes to your smartphone and kind of tracks your brushing and tells you what you're doing right and wrong with your brushing. That exists already. What made Shaka Shaka interesting to me is this is the first one that's not a toothbrush. Instead, it's just a little device that clips onto your existing toothbrush. The advantage being, if you're a mom with three kids, you can buy one Shaka Shaka, and each child can put it on their toothbrush when they brush their teeth. And when they get a new toothbrush, they can put it on the new toothbrush. So there's a huge first of all, savings-wise, it's $89. You know, you buy something from Oral-B, it's $300, and you got one toothbrush. When that toothbrush wears out, you can maybe change the head on it, but you're basically, it's one toothbrush for one person. Here you've got something where you can share it among a bunch of kids, and you can use a cheap toothbrush or expensive toothbrush, soft bristles, hard bristles, whatever you want, and it clips on. So I thought that was unique. It's invented by a mom. You know, she's new to the invention world. She's an engineer. She's maybe in her mid 20s, maybe late 20s. And I was, you know, I really like, you know, a mom, dad, kind of a mom, pop inventor. And that's what she fits into that category. Very small company, clever idea, nice design. She's obviously put a lot of effort into it. So that was one of the products that I actually brought it home.
What do you think is going to happen with the product?
I don't know. I mean, she may make, you know, fame and fortune with it. She may get bought out by Oral-B. She may end up, I don't know what will happen to her. I mean, I plan to mention it on television here in the U.S. because I think it's kind of neat. But there are, you know, there are other mom and pops out there. I never know ahead of time who's going to make a fortune. But I saw something here that was a little different. They've taken an idea that's already shown some success here in the U.S., and this woman tweaked it in a way that I think makes it price point more desirable and also has more function for a larger family. So I thought that was pretty clever.
So
I saw a lot of other stuff, too.
Wait a second. For our listeners, spell the company, the name of the company.
Okay, that's a great question. The name of the product is Shaka Shaka Brush. So it's S-H-A-K-A Brush. The name of the company is Temari, TEMRI.com. So you can Google her and check it out.
TEMRI.com, okay. Okay, that sounds great.
The name of the company is I, but I think she uses two I's at the end, II.com, for her website, I think.
Okay. So now
really
tell
nice
us,
lady.
What other things did you see there, just generally, or, you know, things that we should look out for that you don't think has been introduced into the United States yet?
Well, I saw going to Fujitsu, which I mentioned a few moments ago, they had something which was amazing. It was glasses, basically, that had a laser built into it. So for people with limited vision, it took the image and lasered it through the lens onto the cornea, and it allowed people who can't see or could only see a cloudy image before actually have much better vision. And they had testimonials from people, and it was just really amazing to see how it worked. So that seemed to be, I thought, was kind of mind-blowing.
What is the
and,
name of that product?
Award-winning. It is called, I think it's going to be called, I know their name was kind of up in the air, but basically Retinal Imaging Laser Eyewear Technology is all they're calling it now. I think when it comes out, it's going to have the name Retisma, but I don't think that's official yet, because I was going to mention it in something else I was doing, and they were like, no, we don't have the... That name hasn't been locked in yet, but basically it's from Fujitsu.
So explain it again. You put on these
glasses.
Yeah.
That take the image of what the glasses see, turn it into a laser image, flip it upside down because that's how your eye uses to seeing it, and then zaps it through your lens on your eye, kind of skipping the lens, and focuses it right on the retina. It automatically adjusts to the depth of your retina, and can help for people who can't see or for really low vision people. It's an important aid.
But just that, I mean, it's a temporary. It's an image that goes on. Nothing is really touching your eye.
Right. Exactly. It's an but the image. So now, from not being able to see or just seeing the world in shadows or cloudiness, you're now seeing a full color image of what's in front of you. It could be life changing. That I don't know, but it was under Fujitsu. They also had a thing called a Onntenna, O-N-T-E-N-N-A. And this is a little clip that goes into the hair of someone who has a who's hearing impaired. And what it does is it listens for vibrations. When it hears any kind of sound, it vibrates kind of differently for different sounds. So an interesting story they gave from a person could be vacuuming if you're hearing impaired, and while they're vacuuming, they unplug the plug, and they continue vacuuming because they don't know the plug's unplugged because they can't hear the vacuum's not working. This would stop shaking, and they know that the vacuum's no longer making noise, and they have to go back and plug it in. Crossing the street, you know, they can't hear a car honking at them. This will hear it for them, and it vibrates. So a woman could wear it as a clip in her hair, or you could wear it, you know, on your shirt. And when it vibrates, it vibrates different levels based on the sound. The hearing impaired person, it's sort of like, again, and the other thing about it, it's around $60. So the price point on it is amazing.
So what is this called?
Onntenna, O-N-T-E-N-N-A.
Oh, Steve, it's really amazing. I'm thinking about you going around looking at all these products, and I know that you probably feel, you know, very privileged and proud to know about all of this advancement before the average person. How does this affect you and your life when you know about all of these great things to come?
Well, you know, it gives me kind of a context of other things. When I see other things come along, first of all, I can say, well, I've already seen something like this. It's already out there in Japan. So it kind of gives me a broader picture of what's out there. And you know, I get excited about something, then I see if other people are getting excited about it. It helps me gauge what's a mainstream product, what really is extraordinary, what people should be talking about. You know, it, just like anything else, the more you do something, the more context you get, the better you are at looking at new products. So, you know, some products are lame that you see, and you know to not make, they're not extraordinary. So it kind of helps put all that in context. And plus, hanging out with the other judges, they're all, you know, experts in their fields. And, you know, you learn a lot. You have a bunch of conversations that really help expand who you are. So and hopefully I'm doing the same for them.
That's very interesting. Are you going to be going back next year?
If they invite me, I'll go back because I really think it's a great experience. I've enjoyed it a lot. I love seeing Japan.
I'm very curious about that. You are taking, I know how busy you are, being on the road, you know, being a consultant, making TV appearances, researching, booking, attending trade shows and events. How do you take 1 week out of the year, and you really can't push it against anything else? You know, there's no connection between what you usually do that this becomes a big chunk of time out of your schedule. How do you justify
that? No, it's the truth, and it's difficult, but I think it's important. It's sort of like I look at it as if I was going back to school, taking, you know, if you're a lawyer, or you're a doctor, a dentist, or whatnot, you have to go back and take classes to kind of stay fresh and on. I look at this week as a chance for me to like hone my skills, learn about the latest materials, make great contacts. So, no, it doesn't turn into, you know, it isn't financially, you know, a win-win on that level. But I think on the long run, it is, because I think it makes me a better professional in my field. I know more after having done it. So I'm excited about it. And like I said, I think it really does invigorate me. It gets me really excited about seeing new products. And it's so organized. You know, again, you've got to keep in mind, it's in Japan. So everything is right on time. We have all these appointments. They really keep, you know, something you could never pull off at CES. It's so organized that I feel like every minute I'm there, I'm actually learning something. There's no downtime. There's no wasted time. So I feel good about that.
Do you think any of these companies will be at CES in January in Vegas?
Absolutely. I think some of them. I think Fujitsu, the bigger companies, will. Honda was there. They'll be there. And I think some of the small ones, when they can afford it, when they've grown to the right size, will make the leap. I mean, I saw a bunch of cool small companies that I think would be a natural for CES, including Shaka Shaka.
Beautiful. Well, thank you. I feel like we went there with you, so that was a quick,
I'm
easy and
glad. I'm glad I
sufficient.
was able to share it with you.
Great.
And of course, if anybody wants to ask me any questions about it, they can reach out to me through Twitter at SteveTV or through our site here at Lying on the Beach. But always great to report back from on the road. So thank you very much for the opportunity, Lois. So once again, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
And we are Lying on the Beach. So long.
Bye-bye.